Several years ago, a son decided to honor his mother in a very special and unique way. He put an ad, actually a listing, an auction on eBay titled Best Mom Ever. Best Mother in the World, he actually titled it. He wasn't auctioning his mom. What he was actually auctioning was that the winner would receive an email from his mom. And he said, this email will make you feel like you are the most special person on the earth. What do you suppose happened with that auction? There was a lot of interest. In fact, it ran for 7 days, and nearly 43,000 people clicked on and looked at that auction listing. There were many bids, actually, 92. It began with $1, and the winning bid was $610. Someone bid to receive an email from this mother. Probably just the novelty of saying that you won. I don't know why someone would do that, but I don't know. It is amazing. Sometimes people will pay for things that most mothers would be happy to do for free. They would receive freely from their mother. They would pay for it. You know, in America, we love our holidays, and Mother's Day is no different. 10 years ago, one estimate stated that Americans spend almost $230 billion on holidays throughout the year. Throughout the year, $230 billion on all the different holidays. And, of course, Mother's Day is on that list, and it also draws a lot of money into our economy, $20 billion. And so I thought it was interesting to find the listing where Mother's Day falls in that list of spending. So beginning at number 7, Halloween lands there. Halloween is number 7. I think in the last few years, Halloween has moved up, sadly. More money is spent on Halloween in recent years. So number 7 is Halloween. 6 is Father's Day. I don't know why Father's gets the short end there, but we do. 5 is Easter. And on this list, 4 is Mother's Day. So it falls in the middle on this list. And the next 3, maybe you can guess what they might be. Number 3 is Valentine's Day. Number 2 is Thanksgiving. And number 1, of course, you know what that is Christmas. So let's try to see if we can understand and figure out what some of the big draws are, big things that occur on Mother's Day. What do you think Mother's Day is number 1 in terms of spending? What do you think it is? Dining out. Makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, moms make dinner, so if you want to honor her, you got to take her out. So it's number 1 in that. Number 2, it's second most popular for gift giving. And number 3, in receiving, sending cards. They estimate 141 million cards for Mother's Day. Now, of course, here we are in church today, and we acknowledge that Mother's Day is not a religious holiday. However, in Scripture, both in the Old and New Testaments, we're instructed to honor our fathers and our mothers. And when you take that instruction that really comes from God to all of us who name the name of Christ, you realize that Mother's Day is a good thing, although like other holidays such as Easter, it shouldn't be just one day. We should honor our mothers every day. But today I think it's important that we talk about this and that we try to honor our mothers to the best of our ability for several reasons. Number 1, because of Scripture. And number 2, because motherhood is maligned in many ways in our culture today. So I want to do that. I want to talk about motherhood today. I want to honor mothers. But before we get into that, I would like to stop and just acknowledge at the very beginning that this is a very painful and difficult day for many, many people. It really is. In fact, many churches have stopped celebrating Mother's Day for that reason. It's a very difficult day. The idealized fairy tale image of motherhood portrayed in the Hallmark cards during the season is misleading And it is downright harmful in many ways, not to mention it doesn't square with Scripture. So we need to just pause and acknowledge this. You know, the thing I like about Scripture is that it's very transparent, it's raw, it's real. To me, that's evidence of its validity, its veracity. It doesn't whitewash anything. It shows the brokenness of humanity as it really is. And that's particularly true in our relationships and in the home. And so you look at the Scripture and you see that motherhood is no different. I mean, think of it. Right at the beginning, Eve had the heartache of having to lose one son at the hand of another, the very first family, the first mother. Ruth was left widowed and childless at a young age. Rachel, Hannah, Sarah, they all experienced infertility. Imagine being the mother of the prodigal son. We often think of the father because he's portrayed in there, but there was a mother. So it wasn't just the father who was stabbed in the back and betrayed by this son. Those of you that may have a prodigal, you know what that's like. She experienced that. In Like Do Your Youth, Eugene Peterson says there aren't any ideal families portrayed in the Bible. Listen, he said, a search of Scripture turns up one rather surprising truth. There are no exemplary families. Not a single family is portrayed in Scripture in such a way so as to evoke admiration in us. There are many family stories. There's considerable reference to family life. And there is sound counsel to guide the growth of families. But not a single model family for anyone to look up to in either awe or envy. I don't know if you've thought about that before. I'll continue reading. The biblical material consistently portrays the family not as a Norman Rockwell group beaming in gratitude around a Thanksgiving turkey, but as a series of broken relationships in need of redemption. And because we live in a broken, fallen world, because we're all broken, our relationships are broken, that makes motherhood very painful for many, many people. Mother's Day is difficult for some because they have empty arms. Empty arms on Mother's Day. Empty arms due to divorce or unwanted singleness, miscarriage, or the death of a child. Maybe you're unable to bear children. Perhaps you placed a child for adoption. Maybe you had an abortion. Very difficult day. For others, the day is difficult because their phone doesn't ring. The mailbox is empty. There are no Hallmark cards arriving. No visits, no dinner invitations from any of your children. Some struggle because their mother is no longer living. Very painful because you miss her. And then, of course, there are some who struggle deeply because you had a mother who failed you or betrayed you in some way, abandoned you, left you. And now today you're supposed to be happy and honor your mother? Very difficult day. Did you know that there are many women who stay away from church on Mother's Day for this very reason? It's just too painful. Just two things I want to say, and then we'll move on, get into God's Word to talk about how we can honor our mothers today. But first of all, in light of what I just said, I want to just encourage you, for those of you with heartache today, I want to remind you of something very important. Listen carefully. The Bible says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And some of you today, that's the only way you can describe it. You've been crushed by your experience in motherhood, or your experience with your mother. It's broken your heart. Guess what? The Bible affirms the Lord is close to you. He's close to you. You may not sense his nearness, but the Bible assures you that he is close to you. His heart is tender towards you. In fact, the Bible says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Oh, my friends, today what I want to do is lift up Jesus. Oh, Jesus, he loves you. He's compassionate. He can heal your wounds. He can heal your broken heart. Let him carry your pain and bind your wounds. Run to Jesus today. Secondly, I want to just encourage all of us to be sensitive to one another. Because you may be here today, you may be sitting at home and thinking, Bob, what are you talking about? I can't get my mind around what you're saying, because you have a shiny family, right? And this day, Mother's Day for you, is checking all the right boxes. And at the end of the day, you'll be able to go to bed feeling loved and appreciated, respected and honored. And you go, oh, it's just so wonderful to be a mother. That is so exciting. I'm so happy. And so are others. But would you just please try to understand that there are many others whose experience is so far removed from yours, so far removed. And can we all be sensitive to one another? I believe this is an opportunity for us to express to one another the love of Jesus in ways that he's called us to. We often talk about the church being a family. It's not like a family, it is a family. Another metaphor the Bible uses is that it is a body. We're like all the different parts of a body. And it says very plainly, if one part of the body suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So today, can we do that? Can we rejoice with those who feel so honored, who are blessed on this day, and it's a wonderful day? Can we enter into that joy? And in like manner, can those who are there also enter into the sorrow and the weeping with those who are having a very difficult day? You know, it's very possible that one of the ways God wants to heal the brokenhearted, wants to bind the wound of one of your brothers or sisters, is through your arms, your hands, your words of encouragement. So as we're sensitive to one another, we can experience wholeness and healing in the midst of this broken world that makes our relationships so challenging. Now, having said that, I want to take a few minutes to talk specifically to mothers, but really more broadly to all women. And there'll be some words as well for the rest of us. You know, motherhood is not for the faint-hearted. Parenthood in general isn't. Motherhood is often hard and very thankless. Our culture doesn't value what you do. In fact, I don't know if you caught it this week. It's mind-blowing how our culture is drifting away from reality so quickly. But I don't know if you caught it, but there were several standing members of Congress who on the floor of Congress referred to mothers and motherhood as, listen, they called it a birthing person. So let me say to you, be the first today to say, Happy Birthing Person Day to you. Now, it's hard to imagine something more demeaning than that. And yet, that's where we are as a culture. And for those of you that are mothers, particularly if you're a stay-at-home mother, or even if you're a working mother who's trying to juggle all these things and you feel overwhelmed, underappreciated, I want to say to you today that God sees what you're doing. Particularly stay-at-home mothers with small children, that season is like, oh, that's tough. And you're wondering, why am I not out doing something valuable and important? And the culture will affirm you in that. Why are you wasting all these wonderful years of your life, your productive years at home with your kids? Send them out, go do something else. All these messages can mess with our minds. And we feel like we're not really valued. God values what you're doing. He values it highly. So I want to talk about that a bit. I want to honor you. And I want to give you some good advice from a mother. Not from me, but from a mother. So if you'd open your Bible to Proverbs, we're going to look at that passage of Scripture together. Proverbs 31. Proverbs is a collection of wisdom, ancient wisdom, that Jewish mothers and fathers were to pass on to their children, the next generation. And they would often use it to teach them about different aspects of life. One of the themes that you see emerging in this book of wisdom is the idea of being a person of character, being a good person. And so part of what Proverbs talks about is finding a good wife. It's there in the scriptures. Proverbs warns young men against the wrong kind of women, like adulteresses who flatter with their lips, like noisy women, quarrelsome women, foolish women. It says in Proverbs 12:4, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. I'm so glad today that God has given me such a good wife. I've had some pain in my bones now these last few days. And some of you have been praying for me. You know my journey with COVID and last few weeks, all this problem and pain, swelling. Guess what? They found out on Friday through some blood work that the COVID is now triggered and kicked in for the very first time. I now have rheumatoid arthritis, so I'm dealing with that. But I can tell you right now, none of that pain in my bones came from my wife. God has blessed me with such a wonderful wife. She's my crown. In chapter 19, it says, a prudent wife is from the Lord, and he's surely given me one. But the climax of this wisdom in chapter 31 is wisdom that comes from a mother to her son. So we want to jump in there and look at this briefly. You'll notice in verse 1 that there, in this final lesson, is a mother giving her son wisdom on how to find an excellent wife. In verse 1, it says, the sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him. So you see what's happening. This is now the culmination. This is the end. And this is a teaching, the oracle that King Lemuel's mother is giving to him. Now, we don't know anything about King Lemuel or his mother. This is the only mention of them in Scripture. But what we find here is a loving mother, a wise mother, passing on her wisdom to her son in a wide array of areas, but particularly focusing in on how to find a good wife, how to find a virtuous woman. So that's what we want to look at today. First of all, before we get into the text on that, she warns him against involvement with loose women. She cautions him about strong drink in verses 4 through 7. She urges him to speak up for the powerless. All those things are good advice, but then she spends the rest of the time painting this picture of a virtuous woman that a lot of women, I've come to find out, they just kind of hate this chapter. It's like, who could measure up to this? That's very painful to see. But what we're going to find this morning is that it's not what it may seem to be. We don't have time to look at it in detail. What I want to do is emphasize two things. We're going to look at the bookends. We're going to look at what she starts with and how she ends in her instruction on finding a good wife. So if you look at verse 10, you'll notice that she asks this question. A wife of noble character, who can find? A wife of noble character, who can find? Before she describes any external quality, any physical feature, any behavior, she dissects the inner life. She goes right into her character. Noble character is the trait you need to look for, she tells her son. That's what you need to look for. She prepares her son for a long and difficult search because they're hard to find. I like one expression that captures this, I think. It's a woman of substance. Often today, in our culture, we focus on appearance. Appearance. But here, his mother says, don't look at the appearance. You can find someone who has a nice appearance. What you need to look for is someone, a woman of substance, of character, a woman of spiritual and moral and inner strength. She is a force to be reckoned with. Don't be fooled. Don't be bewitched by physical beauty or outward charm, which fade away. Look for this rare jewel, a woman of noble character. Well, following that introductory question, Lemuel's mom goes in to describe what this woman is like. He talks about all the things she does. She's very industrious. She's a hard worker. She provides for her family. She does all these things that are wonderful. Describes all these characteristics. And then, kind of the back end, the other bookend to this, she comes back to character. It says in verse 30, charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So here we come back to the maxim the book begins with. In the very first chapter, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And now King Lemuel's mom is saying, hey, when you're looking for women, that's what you need to look for. A woman who fears the Lord. That's the most important thing. A woman of character. The book of Ecclesiastes also ends this way. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And so I don't know, you're a young single person or single guy. I hope you take to heart what is being said here. This is the kind of person that we need to look for in a spouse. Someone who has inner character, who fears the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord? One theologian said, to grow in wisdom and love is not to lose all fear of God. It is to change our fear of God. It is to pass from the servile fear of the slave, the fear of punishment, to the loving reverence of the son, fearing to offend his father, and in the end, to the purely selfish fear of the lover, the fear of hurting what you love. It's someone who, above all else, recognizes I'm accountable to God. He loves me, and I love him, and I don't want to offend him. I love him more than anything else. He's life to me. And Lemuel's mom says, that kind of person is hard to find. That's what you need to look for. I was never really that close to my dad. He wasn't one to dole out a lot of life wisdom, to give a lot of counsel or advice. And perhaps that's why it was striking to me the first time I brought Teresa home from college for a visit. So we came home from Minnesota to Ohio for a weekend. And my dad pulled me aside and I thought, oh no, what happened? He said, don't let this one get away. Don't let this one get away. Because he could see in her the same qualities that I saw, the qualities that Lemuel's mother describes here. And so today, I just want to kind of draw this to close by making two applications. First of all, to mothers here and to all women here today. And then to turn to all the rest of us. What is our response to them? And I want to begin by encouraging you, again, women, all of you, regardless of your age, your marital status, whether you're a mother or not, just to take to heart this issue of character. Now, you all look so pretty today. You look so nice. You got all decked out for Mother's Day. You spent a lot of time on your appearance. That's good. I'm glad. I did too. I know it didn't make a lot of difference. I told Teresa I was going to have to mess up my hair, but it didn't, to make a point, but it didn't work. But my challenge to you is to consider how much time you spend not on your appearance, but on your substance, on your character. And this is a great day to consider that, to step back and think about your inner world. Because as we've already discussed, for many, this is a day that stirs up some emotion and there's some pain there. And you know what I've discovered? I've discovered pain is an awful good teacher. Pain is often a motivator to change. And pain is one of the things God uses, if we'll allow him, to shape our character. So you can become a greater woman of substance. You could have greater impact and influence over those in your orb, those in your sphere, by focusing on that inner world. So as you look, as you think about your life and that world that isn't seen, it's below the appearance, is there something there that needs attention? Is there some character issue that God has tried to put his finger on and you've denied, you've avoided, you've excused, and you've covered up with the appearance? We all have these issues. And so I wonder if there might be something God would want to say to you today on that. Is there some anger there that you need to deal with? Do you have to deal with codependency? Do you have a controlling spirit? You just always want to control? Is there some bitterness or unforgiveness that is in your heart? Perhaps it's anxiety or envy, jealousy, maybe vanity, addiction, greed, lust, spitefulness, dishonesty. I mean, we all have these issues. Let's just come back to the scripture and say what God is looking at, he looks at the heart. You know, man looks at the appearance. That's why we're so worried about the appearance. Because we want man to see us looking pretty good. So today is a good day for all of us, women particularly, to say, God, I want to be a woman of noble character. I want to be a woman who fears the Lord. Is there anything in me that is displeasing to you? Is there any way that I can improve my character today as you change me? I just select that one area, just one thing, and draw into the Lord and press in and allow him to bring change. Regardless, whether this is a Hallmark day for you or a hellish day for you, you can be a woman of substance, a woman of strength. And you can allow God today to use either the good that is coming in this day in your life or the pain to shape and mold you so that you will reflect the beauty of Jesus to those around you. Now I want to talk to the rest of us, just finally in closing. In verse 28, it says, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned. It's fitting and proper to bless, reward God-fearing wives and mothers in general. We do it because we're directed by God to do it. Not because they deserve it necessarily, but because we're called to do it. to honor them, to bless them, to appreciate them. And so I urge you to do that in some way today if your mother is living. But it isn't easy. It's not always easy. And maybe the first thing that needs to happen is you have to acknowledge some emotion within you that's making it difficult for you to honor your mother. There might be some unforgiveness, some bitterness. There could be something inside of you today that it's coming between you. That relationship is not fully reconciled. She might not even be with you anymore, but yet there's something there. And so perhaps in order to honor today, you need to ask God to come and bring healing to your emotions. You need to press through to forgiveness, to acknowledge that she honored you by giving you life and doing the best she could under the circumstances she had, and say, God, I thank you for my mother. For others, it's easy to honor your mother because you have fond memories. No mother's perfect, but maybe yours was close. And so it's easy for you to honor them. Regardless, we're called to do that, to honor them today. And again, I've mentioned my wife already. She's not my mother. She reminds me of that. Gave her a card today. She said, I'm not your mother. I said, it doesn't matter. I'm honoring you as the mother of my children. And just giving a shout out to her today in front of you. She's such a wonderful woman who's blessed me beyond measure, 40 plus years. Walked through a lot of deep valleys together. Been a mother to three adopted children that's given us some interesting experiences, to say the least. Great woman of God, woman who fears God. And I thank God for her every day. So honor, appreciate, love your wives and mothers. So it's an interesting day for all of us. So again, I want to come back to the blessing it is to be a mother. Such a blessing to have that gift and to be able to influence lives. But I want to close with some words from Janelle Williams Paris, in a piece titled, When Mother's Day is Hard. Now, I don't agree with everything she says, but I do like what she says here. And I want to give her the last word this morning. Again, this is in a piece titled, When Mother's Day is Hard. So let's be gentle with each other this Mother's Day. Let's celebrate with the women who have happy families. Let's remember the women, men, girls, and boys who are hurt by their mothers. Let's remember the mothers who have lost their children. Let's remember the women who long to be wives and mothers, but aren't. Let's come together and worship Jesus alone, not idealized images of our mothers or ourselves. Would you stand with me? I'd like to pray a special blessing on you as we go from this day and ask God to bless us all. So let's pray together. Father God, again, we come to you. We give thanks to you for your love for us. We thank you for our mothers. Lord, we thank you for what they've done for us, the way that they have given us life and provided for us. We thank you for the ways that they have shaped us. And God, we give you thanks today. We pray that you will help us to continue to honor them, whether they're living or not, to bless them, to appreciate them, to respect them. And Father, I pray too for the mothers today who are present with us online and in person. And Lord, that whole gamut covers this broad umbrella of motherhood today. And Lord, as each one brings their experience today, all their emotion to you, both bitter and sweet, Lord, that you would meet each mother today right there where they are. Lord, that you would remind them of your presence in their lives, that you see what they are doing, what they have done, and that it is indeed kingdom work. And Father, we pray that you will continue to bring wonderful healing in all of our relationships in the midst of this broken world. That we will see wonderful reconciliation in our marriages, in our families. We will see relationships that are restored, that reflect love and honor and respect as you have designed. Lord, as each of us humble ourselves, as each of us love that way, Lord, I pray that we would see your presence in our families, in our homes, in our marriages, in all of our interpersonal relationships. And so, God, would you be would people be blessed today as they seek you for wholeness and healing, for blessing on this Mother's Day? We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.